In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us begin our service this evening in prayer and thanksgiving. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before your word, desiring to thank you for all the gifts that you have given unto us, your children. So many wonderful blessings that we do not imagine them all, or do we realize all your goodness. But we humbly thank you for all your promises and all your goodness. But above all things, dear Father, we thank you for that perfect work which your Son, our Lord Jesus, has done for us. That work which was perfect and complete, and that all we need to do this evening is to believe. We pray in behalf of those ones that have lost the way to heaven, that you would affect in their minds where they are going, and so that they would think of the day of judgment, and that they would find here again a place of forgiveness. We ask this evening that you would again come to be with us through your Spirit. You would open your word according to your will. And if it's not your will to open your word, we would be satisfied with the simple message of the gospel. And this we pray in the name of your Son, in Jesus' name, amen. I have come to this place this evening with many doubts, and at the beginning of these services I find myself in need of forgiveness. Will you bless me this evening? My desire is to believe along with you, so that one day I can be freed from this sinful portion that I carry. We will read from God's Word from the third chapter according to the writer of the book of Joshua. We will read verses 5 through 11 and verse 17. And the words are in Jesus' name as follow. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priest, saying, take up the ark of the covenant, and pass over before the people, And they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, This day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, When you are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, you shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, Come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, Hereby you shall know that the living God is among you, that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all earth passeth over before you into Jordan. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on the dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Amen. This was not the portion of scriptures that I thought to speak from this evening. But on the way here, I thought of this portion, which is one of the texts that is noted on the calendar for this Sunday. And it didn't seem the text that I had in mind. For some reason, I don't know. But we have this text before us this evening, and if it's God's will, we will pause before this portion of God's Word. The theme for our consideration that today, the Sunday, is the gift of baptism. I don't have a great understanding on the full significance of baptism. But it is a covenant that God has granted unto His children. It doesn't save us, but it strengthens our faith. Just as the other covenant or the sacrament that we celebrate in the New Testament is the sacrament of communion. Therefore, strengthening of faith. Faith is the most important consideration for us people here on the earth. Without faith, the sacraments don't help us because they're for strengthening of faith. And so it is that I would guess that maybe there's some infants here this evening that haven't been baptized yet, but the vast majority of us have been baptized. I would guess most of us as a young child. We have, as older people have, I assume the rest of us have probably been at we've been at least one baptism, but we've probably been at other baptisms as well. And I'm sure you've probably thought of it as I have thought of, what does this mean, and how does it help me as a believer? During that baptism where we see some things take place, and there's water and there's the Word of God that is spoken, and that Word is mixed with the water, and it's a holy happening. And it's a covenant of good conscience. So we might ask that, well, what is that covenant of good conscience? What does that mean? And God has made other covenants as well. A covenant is a promise that God has given. So what was that promise? God has promised through that covenant that if you remain in that, the end, God will take you to heaven. It's a covenant of good conscience. If we keep our conscience clean, without sin, put sin away, God has promised to take you to heaven. That washing of sin away strengthens our faith. It increases faith. It gives us strength to continue. This portion of God's Word, which we have read this evening, we remember from the Old Testament writings, the previous books of Moses. They were 40 years in the wilderness. Moses had now passed away. And Joshua was, I think Joshua was one of the spies that Moses had sent previously, many years before, to spy out the land of Canaan. If I remember right, I think it was Joshua and Caleb that spied out that land along with 10 others. We remember the reports that those spies came back to tell Moses. There was 10 reports of unbelief and 2 reports of faith. They had similar reports, but only 2 were of faith. Remember the reports that were given that it's a land of milk and honey. There are giants in that land, though. Where's grasshoppers before them? And the 10 reports were, we will never overcome. And then the 2 reports of faith were, God will deliver us. Now it was Joshua that was leading the people. They were encamped on the, would be the west side of the Jordan. The Jordan River flows from north to south, I believe, and it separates the land of, which we have now considered to be the land of Jordan in the present-day Israel. And so the children of Israel were on the west side of that river. And it was the time of, I think if we read earlier, maybe in this book or later in this book, it says it was the time of harvest, maybe. It was the first month of the year, the Jewish year. And the Bible says that the banks at that time of the year, the banks of the Jordan River would have been overflowing. It was a time of plenty of water and moisture. And so they came to this river. And naturally, if we were going to cross a river, we would think there would be better times to cross than others. Typically, we wouldn't try to cross a river when it's raging with spring rains. But so it was the time of the year the banks of the Jordan were overflowing. I suppose we could say it was a test of faith. We also have to say that in our day there's things that happen in our lives. They test our faith. I don't know how old Joshua was. I'm guessing he was probably at least 60 years older. They were 40 years in the wilderness, and he was a spy. And I don't know how soon then they left Egypt. I don't think it was a great amount of time when they first came to the land of Canaan. Maybe a year or two. I don't recall. But then they were 40 years wandering in the wilderness because of that report of unbelief. The people, when the spies gave their report, there was the report of faith and the report of unbelief, and the people believed that they wouldn't be able to overcome the people of the land. And so God says that none of you will enter the land. It's maybe a allegory, or it's a picture for us, maybe, that of what it's like for us also here in this life of faith. If we believe the sermon of Satan in unbelief, we will not pass into the promised land. We'll be turned away from that, wander in darkness. But so it was that the generation had passed away, and they were now about to enter the land of Israel. The river that they had to cross was swollen with water. We have heard in our services many times how large a group of people that was that journeyed. And so we would have to think there would have been all types and sizes of people that needed to cross this river. And the waters overflowing the banks, and so it was that it was time to cross. It seems sometimes in our journey of faith that the things that are before us are large. They're difficult. How will I get beyond? Maybe the temptations are great. Sin before us, maybe. Maybe we've fallen and we've thought, how? How am I going to make it? So it was when they were to cross the river, I'm sure there was many differing thoughts. But so it was that God had talked to Joshua, and he told him what to do and how to cross. And our text begins, and Joshua said to the people, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." I'm sure the people were, Moses had recently climbed that mountain, and I don't recall all the things of that portion of scriptures. God had instructed him to climb, I don't remember even the mountain, but he told him to climb the mountain and see. Look at the land that he's promised. And Moses climbed the mountain and he's seen. And the Bible says that God took him and buried him. So now it was a new generation. It was interesting to note at our last board meeting when we were visiting about many different matters, but we also just touched on this, how at our board is, there's only two now on our board that have, were old enough to understand what happened 40 years ago, 40 years ago, when there was many that were deceived by the spirit of heresy. And I thought of this, how Joshua now was to lead the people. He was able to remind them. Him and Caleb were the only lasting from that generation that wandered for 40 years. He would have been able to tell of the experiences that had happened. But I'm sure he also wondered that, will the people believe? But so it is that God wanted to show the people that he was still with them. And so he did this wonderful miracle that we read about in our text. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant, and pass over before the people. And they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. So that was the reason God did this wonderful work of this happening of scriptures. God wants us to make it to heaven. He doesn't want us to fall by the way. He wants each of you. He wants to see you in heaven. One day you will, with new bodies, stand before God if you continue to believe. Then you will see God as he is. I can promise you, you will not be disappointed. If you continue in faith, until the end. And our text continues, and thou shalt command the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, you shall stand still in Jordan. I would assume many of us know what that ark that the scriptures speak of here was that it was, how would I explain it? Maybe it was a box, and I'm not sure how big it would be. The Bible explains how big it would be, how big it was, and it wasn't large, I don't think, but it was made there in the wilderness. And inside of that ark, it was like a box, and it was covered with gold, and the top of it, I think, had two cherubims that were facing each other, and the Bible gives an explanation that the wings were outstretched, and there was a mercy seat. The wings were outstretched over the mercy seat, which many of these things have have meanings to them, but we won't go into them now. And there were handles on the side of the ark that there were holes, or there was things that handles would be slid into there, and then they carried that everywhere they went in the wilderness. The priests, the Levites, that was their job to carry the things of the tabernacle, those holy items or that they used in their worship service. And so this Ark of the Covenant, it was not to be touched with your hands, and it was supposed to be carried. And so it was that this went before the people in all their wilderness journey, and they followed that Ark of the Covenant. And so it's a picture for us that we also follow after the Word of God. That's our guide in this journey of faith. Just as it was in the Old Testament times, it was they were guided by God's Word. And so it was that Joshua had told the priests, the Levites of the tabernacle, to take that Ark of the Covenant and carry it across the river. And so we can picture in our minds the river banks overflowing, and I don't know how large a river it was, but it would have been a difficult thing to cross at that time of year. And so it was that the priests took this Ark of the Covenant and they stepped into the waters of Jordan. And the Bible says that the river stopped. And when they, from that place where they stepped in, the waters continued onward down river, but it stopped. And we would think that would be an impossible thing for us. And I would have to say it would be for us. And I've sometimes thought, and I've heard that from some of that have left this kingdom of God, and they've began to look at scriptures with critical eyes and say that that's impossible. Some of these things of scripture are impossible. And I'll have to say that that's true. For man, it's not. It's not a possibility, but we're not talking about a man. We're talking about our Heavenly Father. We're talking about God. It's not impossible for our Heavenly Father. And so it was that the river stopped. I don't understand what it says here, but let's continue reading here. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites, the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore, take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. We didn't read this portion in our text, but we will read these verses now. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priest that bear the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. I don't really understand what this says when it says that they shall stand upon a heap, but maybe some of you can understand what that means. And in my mind's imagination, the waters either piled up at that point or they stopped. I don't know, but with a river, it's with God, it was a possibility. How he did it was how he did it. We don't have to explain it, but. And it says, and it came to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priest bearing the ark of the covenant before the people. And as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priest that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for the Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city of Adam, that is beside Zaratan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off. And the people passed over right against Jericho. So I'm sure if you were living at that time and you were able to see and witness this, you would understand that God was with his people. We today haven't seen these things, but our God is still with us. He's promised to be. How do we know? He is with us today. We don't see all the things that happen in the Old Testament, or even those things that happen in the early New Testament, where the apostles were given wonderful powers to do many miracles. But so it was that during the time of the apostles, there was those many wonderful miracles. During the time when God was walking upon the earth and his Son, the Lord Jesus, people seen those miracles. How many were there on Easter morning? There was only a few that were yet believing. Even though they were yet doubting, God is with us today. He's promised wherever his children gather together in his name, he's promised to be with them. And so he has directed our services here for many generations. And hopefully for many more to come. We've seen many fall away from faith in our time. But that's not a new thing. The devil is certainly diligent in his work. It's amazing that we even stop to give him our ear. He causes so much turmoil and distress and sin. Why do we listen to him? But God knows how we are. Therefore, he made a way to heaven that was perfectly completed without our advice or our help. God created a way for us to heaven through his Son, our Lord Jesus. And so that way is still the same way this evening. It was a way of faith thousands of years ago when Joshua led the people across the Jordan River. God was able to stop the waters that would have washed them away. God is able to stop all of the temptations that are before us. In the end, when we cross the Jordan into the promised land of heaven, then we will know it was worth it. Certainly the temptations may seem fierce and we wonder that will we make it. I'm sure as the people crossed that river, I don't know if they would have been different than I, but if the waters were piling up there, I would have wondered that, will I make it before they come crashing in? So small, my faith. It's so small, it's not even measurable, it seems. But if you even had the faith of a mustard seed, which is so small you can barely see it, if you had that much, you could move mountain ranges. It's not how much faith we have, but do we have faith? Dear brothers and sisters, be encouraged in this weak faith. It's enough to just have faith, to cross these difficult things of our time. We hear of difficult happenings, and we hear that the people have given up faith. It makes us to doubt. But remain steadfast in this faith, dear brothers and sisters. God will lead you to the promised land of heaven. He has promised. He doesn't want you to be left on the wayside, but He wants to carry you to the shore of heaven. Be encouraged and be emboldened, dear brothers and sisters, to remain believing in that covenant of good conscience. You have permission to believe, all sins forgiven in Jesus' name and precious atonement blood. Your faith is your ticket to heaven. The Bible says of our forefather in faith Abraham, that Abraham believed God, and that was counted unto him for righteousness. We want to remain believing as Abraham until the end when God calls us from this place. Even as another one has been able to cross from this place to the promised land by faith. Be encouraged to remain believing by faith. Believe all sins and doubts and failings of the journey forgiven in Jesus' name and precious atonement blood. And if there happen to be those matters that trouble the heart and soul, that the devil is reminding you of continually, that you won't make it with such matters on your heart and conscience, go and speak of the matters and be reassured that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation for all of that belief. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us close our service this evening in the Lord's benediction. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make His face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up His countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.